KQEN weather forecast. Today, mostly sunny, a high near 69 degrees. Tonight, some patchy fog, 43 for a low. Fog tomorrow morning, but then burning off for sunshine and a high near 70. And by Friday, sunny and 75 degrees expected. It's 58 degrees now. KQEN news time is 12:35.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Today, a candidate interview, Republican candidate for Congress, Alex Carlottis. Alex, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Thanks for having me again. I appreciate it.
Well, give us an overall view of how you feel the race is going, maybe how the polls are looking for you.
Well, it's definitely neck and neck. I can't go into what the polls look like, but it's definitely a fistfight now up until Election Day.
We've seen a lot of back and forth, both campaigns, with a lot of media out there, a lot of interviews, a lot of appearances. It seems like the race is higher profile than this contest has been, at least in the past few years.
Well, absolutely, and that's because it's closer than it's been in the last few years, significantly. Both parties see this as an opportunity, and even the Democrats are spending a ton of money on DeFazio's behalf to help him defend this seat because they know that he's vulnerable this cycle.
And you've been getting a lot of support from the Republican Party in a lot of different cases. Why is it that folks have been particularly interested in your campaign around the country?
I'm not sure. I mean, it could be the fact that we're the only competitive federal race in the entire Pacific Northwest. Also, I think that it's probably an interesting story just from where I came from and everything that's been going on in the country right now. It's one of the few competitive races in the country, so obviously it's going to get attention and be talked about.
You're a millennial candidate. It would seem that if you're elected, you'd be one of the youngest members of Congress. What about that prospect? How does that feel for somebody your age?
Well, I think it's exciting. I mean, millennials need more representation in Congress. I mean, there's a lot of things going on right now that are concerning for the younger generations, in particular, how much money we're adding to the national debt. That's something that we're going to have to deal with for a long, long time, and I find that younger people like myself are much more concerned about it.
And you are how old right now?
I'm 28.
And I know that there are a couple of races, I think one in New York and one elsewhere, where folks that are running are a year or two younger, but that would certainly put you on the younger side. What drove you to take on this race against an incumbent who normally wins by big margins?
Well, simply because he's never had to run a real election. I mean, he wins by big margins because he's always had it easy. I mean, this is a district that I feel lacks representation. I mean, it's incredibly partisan, especially with the way politics has gone recently. I mean, Peter DeFazio votes with AOC 96% of the time. That means he's more liberal even than Nancy Pelosi. And that doesn't represent a district that's as large and rural as Oregon's 4th Congressional District. And really, for me personally, the issue that got me angry enough to want to do something was our timber policy, or really lack thereof. I mean, even just 2 or 3 weeks before this fire season that was so terrible, Peter DeFazio voted against salvage logging in committee. And that's something that I think everyone should be able to get behind because it reduces the risk of future forest fires and uses merchantable timber that would otherwise just sit there and rot. And it would, of course, goes into jobs and economy and money for ONC counties. So to me, it makes absolutely no sense. And that's, I think, one of the first things we should be able to compromise on.
And, of course, with the recent Archie Creek fire, the other fires around Western Oregon, that issue of how to manage forests has come up again and again.
Well, absolutely. I mean, it's an incredibly important issue. And, I mean, I'm sure global warming doesn't help, but it's definitely a lot more than just global warming. I mean, we have these huge fuel loads in the forest, and by not salvage logging and reducing the risk of future forest fires, this problem is simply just going to get worse and worse every year until we actually decide to do something about it. And that's, of course, one of going to be one of my biggest priorities if elected.
And some of our local office holders have said with the Trump administration, they've seen moves in directions that they deemed positive on the federal forest management. But of course, when you're dealing with the federal level and the various agencies involved, any shift is generally takes a long process to move a different direction.
Well, and just because something is, you know, moving in the right direction in federal forests overall doesn't necessarily mean that it's that way for the ONC forest land in particular. And that's part of the problem, is that it's such a specific issue that only affects Western Oregon, that we really need a congressman from Western Oregon to champion these policies. And that's what I would hope to do. And that's what hasn't been done the last 33 years under Peter DeFazio.
So talk about other top issues you'd focus on if elected.
Well, health care is a huge issue in Oregon's 4th Congressional District. Access and keeping qualified professionals here, as well as the economy. I mean, we are now the poorest congressional district in the state, and that's something that is incredibly shameful, and we need to definitely turn around, as well as some of the results of that are high homelessness, high child abuse, and high drug use. And that's all tied together in one way or another. And, of course, due to what I survived in the middle of a gun-free continent, I will always protect our Second Amendment rights to defend ourselves and our family.
The 4th District is a mix of conservative and progressive areas. How would you represent all the people who live in the district when it is so diverse?
Well, I just wouldn't be partisan. I mean, you have to work with Democrats in this day and age, and Democrats have to work with Republicans if you expect to get anything done or any bills passed. I mean, Peter DeFazio can't get his own bill out of his own committee because it's so hyper-partisan that he didn't get any Republican input. And of course, it's not going to go anywhere unless Democrats take the presidency and the Senate, which maybe that's what he's banking on. But I don't think we can afford to waste that kind of time on issues that important to Oregon's 4th Congressional District, such as, you know, salvage logging and our economy. We need to work with Democrats, figure out what we can agree on, and pass bills with a very narrow scope of only being what we're actually trying to accomplish. So either party doesn't tack on their wish list that basically kills the bill so it doesn't actually go anywhere, which I think is one of the biggest problems facing government this day and age.
Do you feel like going in as a millennial would give you sort of a fresh approach as opposed to someone from either party who's been entrenched in D.C. politics for a long time?
Well, absolutely. And I think millennials also just have a different point of view that's probably not represented in Congress that much or quite yet, just due to the lack of millennials in Congress. But I think that it's also important because the issues that millennials are facing are a little bit different than previous generations have faced. And we need voices in Congress to express those opinions.
And as you have been involved in this campaign, and I'm guessing in your contacts with the Republican National Committee and others, do you see a move in either party to get more millennials involved in the process?
Well, it seems that the Republicans have definitely been pushing that this cycle. I mean, not just with millennials necessarily, but this is probably the most diverse group of congressional candidates I've ever seen. I mean, there's minorities, there's veterans, I mean, disabled people. I mean, it runs the gamut, and I think that it's very representative of who we are as a country. And I love the direction that the Republican Party is going this year with their congressional candidates, and hopefully we can keep that momentum going all the way into the future, because our Congress should represent our country and should look like our country.
Now, if I recall correctly, you moved up here partway through high school, and though you've had a lot of experiences that are well-known, certainly with the situation in Europe and all of that, what about this area has caused you to remain here? Because a lot of people your age, even if they've grown up here or they move here later, once they get out of high school or college, they head to the big city, whatever that one might be. What is it about this area that's kept you here?
Well, I love it here. I mean, Southwestern Oregon and Western Oregon is fantastic. We have great weather, great people. It's incredibly beautiful. I mean, we have almost everything going for us except for the economy. And of course, part of that's due to our lack of diversification economically, and part of it's due to the timber industry going away and not managing our forests. But that's really why young people don't stay here. I mean, even a lot of my high school graduating classes left the area, left the district, even left the state. And we really need to improve our economy if we're going to continue to grow and keep our young people here. And that's, again, as a young person and someone who still has a lot of life to live, I'm really trying to move the needle on, because we need to improve the situation in southwestern Oregon in particular.
Going to take a break. On Inside Douglas County, Alex Scarlatos, Republican candidate for Congress, challenging Peter DeFazio. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. Back in 2 minutes, 1246 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Lars Larson coming at 1 on News Radio 1240 KQEN. Later today, Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show, the Commissioner of Dirt, this afternoon at 4 o'clock. On tomorrow's program, another candidate interview. Congressman Peter DeFazio will join us. We're booking candidates from other races for morning conversations and Inside Douglas County slots in the next couple of weeks, so you'll be hearing a lot more conversation with the candidates. Republican challenger from the GOP, Alex Scarlatos, running against Congressman DeFazio, with us this afternoon. Just in the past few minutes, the Douglas County COVID-19 response team reporting 9 new COVID-19 cases in Douglas County today, outside of a workplace outbreak a couple of months back, the highest number in a single day. And while we track the COVID-19 issues, I'm curious, looking at the federal level, how you feel like Washington, D.C. has handled this COVID-19 pandemic?
Well, I believe in states' rights, and I believe that everything should be as local as possible. That being said, the federal government, when it comes to some of their bailout packages, I mean, obviously it's adding trillions of dollars to the national debt, which is a huge concern of mine. But that being said, I think they've done overall a good job with the amount of money that has been approved has, for the most part, gone to small businesses and the actual economy, not just large businesses and things like that. I think it's overall pushed us in the right direction, and I love seeing the money actually go towards real people, not big corporations like the 2008 bailout packages did.
What about its effects on the budget situation? You've mentioned a couple times here a concern about this growing federal budget deficit. And, of course, the younger you are, the more you're going to be saddled with it for the rest of your life.
Well, absolutely. And it's a huge problem. It's grown by, I think, $3 trillion so far just due to the coronavirus. And we can't, I mean, it's not sustainable. We can't keep passing bailout package after bailout package. Eventually, we're going to either need to come up with a coronavirus vaccine or work on how we're going to open up and allow people to get back to work and open their small businesses that a lot of them are hurting. And we're now seeing a very increased rate of long-term negative effects due to some of these small businesses closing down for good now. And just passing bailout package after bailout package is not going to solve this problem in the long term.
What have you noticed looking around the Umpqua Valley in terms of the businesses and seeing places that were closed for a while, reopened, they closed, now it looks like they're going to close for a long time? How much of that have you been exposed to noticing?
Oh, quite a few, and really across the entire district. And obviously the coronavirus rates of infection vary wildly across, you know, rural areas to cities. And it's very frustrating to see some of these businesses, I mean, particularly in the Eugene area, get closed down due to coronavirus for weeks and weeks, and then they get their windows smashed out in the riots, and then they have to close back down for coronavirus again. I mean, it's incredibly frustrating, and this is not sustainable, and just adding it to the national debt is not a good idea. I mean, we do need some relief, but it should be very limited and targeted to the businesses that need it, because this is not, again, I just can't say this enough, it's not sustainable for the future and for younger generations.
What about the sort of the pivot to vote by mail as an option in a number of states, given the COVID-19 dynamics? Oregon's been doing vote by mail for a long time. A lot of people like it, some people don't. But are you concerned nationally about the accuracy of our election process with so many states making shifts just weeks before the ballots went out?
Well, it's definitely concerning. I mean, Oregon's been doing vote by mail for almost 30 years, and even then we still can't get it right. I mean, I'm sure you were aware of all the problems that happened in the primary with voter registrations being changed. And it's just worrisome because a lot of these states really have no exposure to vote by mail, and it's taken us 30 years just to get it this good. And it's, I mean, at the end of the day, it doesn't really change turnouts. I mean, I'm all for making voting easier for people, but as long as it's safe. And some of these states just going whole hog into voting by mail with no practice, I think is very worrisome, and we should definitely keep an eye on it.
With technology coming into play and really pushing a lot of processes due to COVID-19, whether it's telehealth from the medical side or even members of Congress, the Supreme Court, the Oregon legislature meeting virtually, there have been a lot of technological shifts with how things are done due to COVID-19. Do you feel like being on the younger side of the age range gives you maybe a little more tech savviness in dealing with these situations?
I'm not very tech savvy overall, but I will say that I think that it's honestly a good thing. I mean, a lot of people are working from home and finding that their productivity rates do not really decrease. I mean, they do in some cases, but overall, it's not really a net negative. And I think that companies overall might start shifting more to work from home model. Instead of even opening their brick and mortar business back up. And I think that's probably a good thing overall. I mean, just for efficiency and work productivity and probably quality of life as well. So I think it's very interesting to see some of these things that are coming about due to coronavirus, some positive, some negative, but it's definitely an interesting time to be alive and running for office, that's for sure.
If you are elected and land in Washington, D.C. in January, what are some of the things you want to focus on first?
Well, timber management, simply because it's going to take a while to right that ship, and we need to get started on it sooner rather than later. I mean, like I said, this problem is just going to get significantly worse, as well as diversifying the economy of the 4th Congressional District and not tying it directly to timber like the ONC laws require us to. So I'd look at fixing that as well. I mean, we do have the poorest economy in the state. And, I mean, like I said, again, health care is probably a big priority as well, simply because we don't have ease of access to healthcare, particularly on the coast. And there's a litany of issues facing Oregon's 4th, but those would probably be my top three.
I've heard that when folks are first elected to Congress, whether it's the House or the Senate, they walk in, 90% of the people have been there for a very long time. Sometimes there's a lot of frustration in trying to make inroads and walking in and learning all these new processes and just how to communicate with folks there and how to make a difference. How do you think you would fare as a brand new member of Congress?
Well, I think I'd do pretty good. I mean, I know a handful of congressmen already, and some of which are already helping me out with the timber issue, especially Bruce Westerman out of Arkansas. He's with his Trillion Tree Act. I mean, he's a champion for timber policy, so I'd love to work with him as well. I mean, I think that for a young congressman, I think we could do a lot of good for Oregon's 4th. I mean, mostly just by focusing on the issues facing Oregon's 4th Congressional District and not worrying so much about broad federal issues or a Green New Deal that has nothing to do with how life is led here in Oregon.
About a minute left on Inside Douglas County. Ballots going out shortly in the next day or so around the state of Oregon. Take a minute and kind of give your final pitches to why folks should consider voting for you.
Well, I just think that it's time for a change. Peter DeFazio has had 33 years in office to run this district into the ground. We're the poorest in the state. He votes with AOC 96% of the time. I'm in favor of term limits, and Peter DeFazio is in favor of abolishing the Electoral College. I mean, he's way too liberal and extreme for this district. I mean, he even voted against salvage logging 3 weeks ago in committee, which is something that I think both parties should be able to compromise. And I would represent all people of Oregon's 4th Congressional District and work across the aisle with Democrats and Republicans to try to move the needle in the right direction for the people of Oregon's 4th.
Alex Carlatos, Republican candidate for Congress. Thanks for being on this afternoon.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
1257 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.